Hallelujah. It's good to be in your midst. We are together in this journey. And we are trusting God for this land. Maybe before now they have said nothing good can come out. But remember when Nathaniel saw Jesus. When they told him to come and say, what did he say? He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? But when he saw Jesus, he testified. He knew that indeed, when Christ told him, he knew. And he said, and Christ told him, said, because you believe this, you will see what? Greater things. We are trusting the Lord. When this will come to pass, we will begin to see greater things in this place. In the name of Jesus. James chapter 1. I read from verse 19. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Matthew chapter 19, from verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. We are looking at doers of the word. I'll begin an overview. I trust that our beloved chaplain will go deeper. The Bible talking to us in the book of James. James writing to the church. And he was writing to the church scattered abroad. Talking about perilous times. People who were undergoing trials. And James was telling the church at that time. Issues about temptation. Telling them how endurance will come forth as patience. And he got to a point. You see, while he began to write, I began to look at King James. Talk about wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom. So I began to ask myself, what's about wisdom with temptation? Till I read Living Bible. And Living Bible said, if you don't know what to do, as when you are tempted, you should ask the Lord. And he was saying that asking God must be what? Believing that God would give you direction. Believing that God will speak to you. So two things came to my heart. So wisdom is actually what to do. Am I correct? People think wisdom to be extra kind of knowledge that you keep somewhere. And when somebody talks, you bring it out to, you know, to give advice, right? But wisdom, in clear terms, asking God what to do. And he now said something, that when you are making that request, you should actually believe that God will give you what? Will tell you what? What to do. And he said, if you go ahead to doing things without confirming that point, he talked about uncertainty, stating that the man who is uncertain should not think he will receive from God. Now the question now comes. Then he went down to now saying, now whatever you are told to do, you should do what? Do it. So it means that we can actually ask God for what to do and what? Not do it. That's the meaning. That I can actually come to God and say, oh, I want this and this. How do I do this and this? And God says, no problem. Just come here. Just come here. And that's all. And you say, it looks like it is difficult. I will not do it. I remember working as a medical officer in Abuja one time. I met a woman. Brought their baby, was seen. And she began to complain at her husband. That look. He will go to club. He will come back. He will not just even sleep at home. When this night he has a group, they will go tomorrow night. And I said, okay, I'll take you to go and see somebody. He will help you. And she thought I was going to take her to a herbalist. Yes. That's her mindset. Because she wanted fast what? Solution. So, in the evening, I told her, you meet me at Bakori Road. You see, as Christians, don't be too sanctimonious to make people think that your way is not pure. If she wants to go to a herbalist, take her there. Bring her to church. Of course. So I got to church. I was going to church that day. So she graciously waited for me. Someone I was preaching to in the office, and I told her I would go somewhere. So when we got there, and I took her into my discipler, I said, ah, daddy. I called him. Said, this is the woman. She was this. Like, this is what you're bringing me to. I thought you were taking me. Somewhere they will give me something. When I go home, I use it. Matter don't settle. And when they began to discover, Sarah told her, your husband is not the problem. You are the problem. Ha! Difficult words. She felt angry. I told you someone does not stay at home. He doesn't care for us. You say, I am not the problem. But when they looked at the word of God, they saw that submission of a woman can actually change a man. And that was all that was needed from her. Where she left the unhappy, like this young ruler. Whatever happened next was history. I don't know. But the reality is that people today do not agree with what God will tell them. Because to us, it looks like it is what? It is difficult. It looks like it will what? It will not bring results. But the beauty about the journey is just like this young man came. He came to Jesus. And you see how he started. How did he start? He started by doing what? He was seeking God. He said, good master. You can come to God with all your praises, all your worship. You can roll. You can cry. You can do everything. The beauty is that the beauty about God, it does not move him. That's the beauty about the God we serve. Your tears, everything you do, well, sorry, it does not move what will come as an instruction. And when he did all that, Christ said, okay, do like this. He said, me, I've been doing all of it. And Christ now told him one thing. From the conclusion of Jesus, what will you have deciphered? And all that man was doing was for one purpose. What was that purpose? To safeguard his possessions. His righteousness, his holiness, and everything he was doing was for one purpose. To safeguard what? What he had. And that's how the Bible calls him what? The rich young ruler. He was a young man, very rich. And when they came to the crux of the matter, Bible says he went away how? Sorrowful. We're looking at a part of the journey that is very crucial to me and you. We're looking at a part of the journey that differentiates the believer from the unbeliever. We're looking at a part of the journey that separates even believers amongst themselves. You know, the Bible talks of Jesus. Bible says when Christ went, he called people, he preached to them. He gave them food. They wanted to do what? Make him king,
right?
But what did the Bible say? The Bible says that Christ did not commit himself to many of them. And that is the part that scares me most in my work with God. It means that I can come here, I can do everything, I can be available, I can pray, I can fast, but Christ will still do what? He won't commit himself to me. He will not commit himself to me. You see, I'll make a confession this morning. Thank God my brother is here. I didn't know he would be here. When I saw him, I was surprised. What are you doing in FMC Cafe? When I was on campus, we're very vibrant. He's here. Thank God there's a witness. The day I left school, and I asked myself, did Christ really commit himself to you? You know, it's a question believers don't ask. We're going to ask certain critical questions this morning. We'll ask ourselves these questions. Wonderful, you were prayer secretary of a fellowship of, it was the largest campus fellowship in Nigeria. I was prayer secretary. People said I was going to be president and everything. But you see, God had to deal with me in certain patterns that I had to agree with. You know, when I was denied many things, my friend is in the U.S. today. I think he was even his head of department, and now he was a HOD, right? So one day he came to school. He told me, he said, Kizo, he's my very good friend, though. If I call him, I will pick. Kizo, not a go fellowship again. So not a go that. Start going to House of Daniels in town. He said, what thing this will they do when you know if you do? Painful. You see, when the devil is wicked, he's wicked, though. Painful enough. He came one day. We had the service. And I now became an elder now. Since I was no longer holding positions, and the younger ones that were brought up were now the leaders. And they said, oh, sir, you will take today. And the power of God was mighty. He stood that day. He looked at me. He looked at them. He said, Kizomo, they come again. So I went to my room. And I heard God tell me clearly, you will remain there till you graduate. So I kept going. I kept going. And when you look at me and wonder, what thing they worry you? They know they advise you. I said, don't worry. And when I left campus, I began to ask myself genuinely, how many of us who were leaders was God using outside campus? If I do my x-ray, very few. That means we were only working. God didn't commit himself to us. He did not. That thing made me hate pulpit ministry. So when people see me, I like stay at the back. He hate me dislike pulpit ministry. Because you can be lost in trying to labor. And you see, God does not know you. He doesn't know you. He does not know you. He does not know you. I began to see young men who would just come as workers and smile. They were the ones that began to pull graces outside campus. Many of our presidents and were now humanizers. They were now drunkards. So I took a back seat. I said, no, young man. This thing passed between what they do. Those gra-gra. Those gra-gra. No biamu. I had to take a back seat. And I had to go back to discipleship. And I told myself, because genuinely, should I tell you the truth? The pulpit ministry is the least of all kind of ministries. It's the least. Why you look at the pastor and you envy him? It's the least. You are the first point of ministry. When you are married, your family is the first point of ministry. Before you talk about the outside. So the question is, does God really know me? When heaven begins to make a roll call, will they call my name? In all that you have done, in all that I am doing, man, let's look at Matthew 7. Or let's do Luke 6. Luke 6, the same scripture, but let's look at Luke 6. There's something that Christ said there. Luke 6 on verse 47. It's from verse 46. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" So you come, Father, we thank you. Like my daughter, if I say, "Let's pray on food," she will start saying, "Father, we thank you. Thank you for mommy." Now you say, "Father, we thank you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You can call all the names." But the question is asking you, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not do the things I've asked you to do? You can call God any kind of name. You can say any kind of, you may even feel goosebumps and everything. But it's only asking you one question, if you wait to listen. Because many times we do all of this and we walk away. We'll come back to that now, very soon, look at it. We see all these things and we walk away, and I've discovered, most times we come to church on Sunday because we must be in church. Because we must what? Be in church. If you don't go now, you say, "Kai, I no go. Hope I'm not backsliding." So your rate limiting step is that you are in church. Sorry. You can be neck deep in the world and you will be in service every Sunday, every Wednesday, every vigil. But guess what? You are neck deep in sin. You are neck deep in sin. As a copper. Some things I've seen. Oh God. As a copper. My own papa. My own papa. So, when I was now leave service, I said, "Okay, let us live together." So I said, "No problem." Pay the rent. We're together. But one time we traveled. "Bros, how far? You know, we'll come back." I said, "Bros, as I did here, so I did under one tree to think of my life. What happened? My own papa had impregnated somebody. It's my papa. But he has become a papa. He's my very good friend. He's my good friend. And he could not. So I had to pray. I said, "Wait, Alpha, waiting happen. Calm down." I said, "Nobody this word." As I said, "You see, they talk to me, you're there alive, no problem with it." And when he told me, I said, "They come back, nothing don't happen. They come. Just be coming." And you know, the day my pastor heard, because we're now in this youth church, vibrant, my pastor heard, my pastor wanted to kill himself. Because he could not believe that, not be you, last week, not be you. And he left me with a lot of thoughts. Which is where, as Christians, that's one part. You see, believers must sit down to introspect. We must have times when we sit down to introspect. And that will bring me, because I don't have, there's no time, so let me rush, to the point of, if I want to really be a doer of the word, what is the first thing? Now, the first point the Bible talks about in James, we'll come to this scripture, is that we should lay aside all filthiness and wickedness. And when I was studying this, the question that came to me again, which I want you to ask yourself, you are born again, right? What did God save you from? That's the question you should sit down now, or when you are going home, when you get home, begin to ask yourself, me like this, what did God save me from? Many times, we say we are born again, but we cannot pinpoint what God saved us from. So how did you not get born again? What did God deliver you from? That's the question. You cannot say, this is it. Oh, okay, you grew up in a Christian home. Your father used to go to church. You pray. Then one day, the Lord told you that you too must accept God. And you say, "Okay, Lord, I accept." That's all. The question is, if in the world we give reports for every activity, right? What reports have I given about my salvation? What did God actually save me from? It's a question most believers have not sat down to ask themselves. You know, one of our brothers in Peace House, when we have our retreats, my Abuja church, I always go. And one time he will come. and Brother Elisha Kure from Kaduna. And he began to tell us how that he was the son of a pastor. But when they want to drink and smoke, they will go far away from home. Go and smoke and drink. And when he's coming, we look sweet and be coming back to the house, being a pastor's child. And then he advanced from there to a point where they just put it in front of the house and just be doing it. You know, that's advancement. You used to hide before, now, openly. And when God saved him, one day he was at work and his girlfriend that time came and said, Elisha, say you're not born again. Say yes. Say you are sure. Say yes. She was not laughing. Say, why are you laughing? Say, well, she's hungry. Oh, you should give her food. He told her, is there a kitchen here? Did you see a kitchen here for food? Is that why you came? He said, so are you saying you will not buy me food? He said, I don't know you anymore. The old life is gone. He was not apologetic. He said, the old life is gone. She sounded funny. And when she was talking to him, he said, see, I'm at work. I'm going to work. And when he was going, she said, you are leaving me? She was dead. And then she called him his old name, his guy named Soja. Hey, Soja! He said, and he told himself, indeed, he will not bear this name again, because the old life is gone. He said, and she was shocked. He kept going. He said, Soja! So she was shocked. The name could not bring him back. And he taught me something. Have I really left everything and followed? Even to his old guy name, he refused. That is the point of actually following. That's the point of actual surrender. Not I surrender and I can read Bible. Then they say, Alpha, let's see with me and you. You say, well, I go. I'll just drink Veruz and go. The same company you keep with them. And you say, me, I'm not born again. You know. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That statement is not a matter. We're not joking about it. A new life has started. Like they used to tease me, maybe even John. They say, if we drink now, we'll just spoil everywhere. That we're already high. That's why we don't need to drink. They say we're already high. That if we now drink, everyone will just spoil. I say, thank you. I will not still do it. You cannot push me into a way that I will not enter. The old life is gone. It is gone. The companies there, they are gone. If they decide to now come to join us, they can join us. But we must agree how the old life is gone. And this is one of the barriers to doing what God says. How about James began to say, lay aside all filthiness and wickedness. Put them aside. You know, Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6, give us the message version. Romans 6. The message version. Romans chapter 6. He says, so what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep forgiving? The next verse. He said, I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is suffering, how can we still live in our old houses there? This was my deliverance, 2019. I was talking to my disciple that day, and he showed me this scripture. He said, if we left the country where sin was suffering, how can we go back to live in our old houses there? How do we now crawl back? How do we do it? How do we take ourselves into it again? And we say, hey, you see, you know the race is not easy. We are trying. One day we'll be perfect. Let me tell you, the old man, do you know how the devil was described? It's in Isaiah. He said, is he not that man? And does not allow his prisoners go what? Easily. That's what he said, devil. He doesn't allow who? His prisoners go how? Easily. He doesn't. Remember, Gwile was trying to explain something to us. He said, when they bought Peace House in Boko, It was a bakery. They now bought it. It now became their office. He said, do you know that they will be in the office? And people will come and knock. Bang, 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 bang. They say, who is there? They say, we want to buy bread. So they will come and say, oh, sorry, madam. The bakery is no longer here. It is now Peace House. The same way Mr. Flesh will always come to knock. It will always come to his residence. He comes to knock. Is the old man still here? Our response is clear. Sorry, the old man no longer lives here. A new person lives here. This is my deliverance. And I tell people, my teenagers, when that nature comes knocking, you say, well, it's not wrong to come and knock. But you see that old man, he doesn't reside here anymore. There's a new man that lives here. So we cannot be talking about doing the word of God when we have not put aside all of this, when we have not gained victory over this. Then number two, James went ahead. He said we should receive the word of God with meekness. And he called it the engrafted word of God. The word of God, the Bible says, is quick and it is powerful. I tell you, you must believe that the word of God is actually powerful. Because that word is able to enter and take over our lives. But the question is, what allowance am I giving to that word? You know, what I tell people is, when you come to church, open your heart to receive the word of God as it is. Put no barrier. The worst thing you can do is when they are now trying to press into matters that pertains to you, just like that young man. If he had told Christ, it's a difficult thing, but how do I go about it? You know, he would have got a solution. He walked away. No man came to God. He told a man, he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Did it not happen? It happened. But the young man did what? He looked at his money. He said, no, I cannot. And the reality, the thing that is clear, is that he's going to leave that money. He may even have left it the next day. But he lost Christ for that. When we come before God, we must receive the word of God as it is. We must allow it permeate. You see, it is quick, it is sharper. It's able to divide soul and spirit together. So we must allow that word actually permeate and do its work in our lives. Many times we put barriers. And I tell people, I say, it's not wrong. When you hear a message and you go, you say, oh, he's difficult to. You know, we're in a meeting and we're going home and we're discussing. And we're like, I said, well, it's not difficult to. That's actually what discipleship is about. For many people, oh, if they say now, go to the world and preach, say, it's hard though. What will I be saying? It's good to be at that point. But the next point is, Lord, can you help me? He says, receive the word with meekness. Colossians 3 says something. He said, for we died, and our life is hidden Christ where? In God. He now went further to say, he said, when Christ, who is our real life? When he will appear. That means, what's about my own life that I say is difficult? It's no longer mine. So whatever he's saying, what happens? I don't have a choice because it's actually no longer my life. People read about the marriage in Cana of Galilee. They say, oh, miracle, miracle, miracle. How did miracle happen? Say, whatever he asked you to do, what? Do what? Do it. That was all. But you are here crying for a miracle when you have not refused to hear what God is asking you to do. You have refused. I was talking to a science, they were discussing about certain issues, about indebtedness that we find amongst many individuals. We're just discussing. And I told her, I said, it is because people have refused
to believe God. That's why they are chucking head into here and here and here looking for money. And I gave an example. I was to get married. I didn't have money. And they already asked me, how do I want to marry? Society, middle class, low class. When they ask you, what will you answer now? Your in-law is asking you, not your father. You know, if your father, you say true. If you say your father, you say the truth. You give me money. If your father, tell your father, you give me money. No, any I be, bill. No, ask me. But when your in-law now asks you, I look. Say society care, me. For we are. If I say low class, now say, eh, my pekin. I say my middle class. I say middle class. Middle class, she I no get. She. And thank God, she has asked me. The person that wants to marry me has agreed. Eh? It don't finish now. She is only asking, who wants to marry has agreed that we can go this way. Eh? So we don't, I just told that middle class, we can say, don't worry about your mother, let's go. We have agreed. So I was at work one day. I was see my patient, I was stroll to go and some of my people who used to laugh. And I will say, ah, Mommy, this marriage on the ritual. He said, why are you thinking, Dr. Kingsley? I said, I don't go think. I don't be mommy. He said, go to staff cooperative now, welfare. Let them borrow you money. Hey! I said, wrong advice. It is the worst advice you can give to me. I said, thank you, man. No problem. I went back to my office. My office was my prayer out of my office. Then I made it to my father's office. Last. And I sat down. I said, God, no, I will not borrow. Your instruction to us was clear in courtship. Don't beg, don't borrow. And that's how we have been working our lives till today. You don't beg, you don't borrow. So I know they borrow. So we sat down every day. Remember that's why I started having gray hair. I would think. I would calculate, solve. Do. I would just sleep off, wake up, go work again. I kept solving. And I said, see what we'll do. Very simple. We call pastor's wife. Take this money. Do rice, do swallow. It don't finish. We'll chop. No chop. Then, I had planned myself. We'll now do like this. Marriage. We are married. Once we finish, we'll go. 2 weeks though. Our pastor, who is from my place, from the same village. So they went to it's not time. We want to now do the marriage. He said, wow. It's time. I'll give you one cow. I said, correct. This one, that one. So when my parents came, I booked etiquette for them. They came. My whole family, they went back. Then my father now come and said, you see, you are just a liar. He said, you are a liar. He said, but you know you used to lie before. He said, but you are not lying. I said, how? He said, you have money. And you say you don't have money. I said, Tor. I thank God. The reality was, I got to a point where I said, if not shame, I go swallow them. Yes. The thing we won't happen, what have we not seen? They go laugh, they go. They will laugh and go now. Abi? It's not more than that. They will laugh and they will go. What's my business? I've married my wife. They don't have wife. That's the truth. Young people laughing at me, they're not married. They will pass through it too now. I've married my own. So I got to that point where I got to the point where I got to the point I'm coming now. Sorry. I got to the point where let them laugh. Many times we miss it because we are afraid of what people will say. That was what destroyed Saul. The same matter with Peter. That a small girl had to come and start embarrassing. That's our fear. What we men say. And we will get to a point on the benefit of doing the word of, and you will something that will shock you. When I said to her, I laughed. I said, you see the problem? We are afraid. So when the word of God will come, they say, God is clearly telling you, do like this. Come like this. You say, Kai, no. No. Huh? If I do this thing now, what will they now say? If I go this way, people will start saying, let people say. We must make up and let people say. It's not about what they will say. And you know the reality? They will even speak good of you. I was in Uyo, for a neck meeting. And we have done neck, let's go and sleep. I don't know whether the one of them says devil that raised him or God raised him. A pharmacist who knows my president served together. He now came and said, we can't come to Uyo and not enjoy ourselves. We can't come to this town and not do bo-bo-bo. He was ready to spend anything to enjoy ourselves. And when they say enjoyment, young people, you know what it means. So we now went, we're in the hotel doing our neck meeting. I said, let us go to the hotel and change and come back. Let this guy take us around town. As we go, I was just thinking in my head, round town. I just got to the right there. I said, God, I don't tire. I want sleep. How God brought that sleep. I love it. I slept. They left me and went. When they came, I said, they went to one class. I said, me, follow now. Bye-bye. If I had said, now all of us, they were cousins. If I now decide to now stay, go bless and let me go church pass. You will only do yourself harm. You must make up this your mind. At this thing, whatever it will cost me, the word of God has come. This is the direction I am going. No matter what it will cost me. Then the next thing James told us is we must forget. We must not forget what manner of men we are. And I wrote here. I said, I must daily acknowledge my tendencies and also the finished work of Christ in me. Daily. He says, when a man hears the word of God, it's like a man looking in a mirror. And when he doesn't do it, it's like a man who just looks in a mirror. And when he leaves there, guess what does he do? He forgets who he was. That's the posture of many believers today. We look at it. This is the word of God. This is this. The moment you are closing it, guess what? You forget. People fall today because they actually forget their tendencies. If I acknowledge my weakness and I believe that Jesus paid in full and I walk with this knowledge every day, it will be difficult to pull me down. Romans 6:6, King James. Let's look at Romans 6:6, King James. The first word says what? Knowing this. Did he say know this? Haven't known this? He said knowing. It's a continuous thing. He didn't say no. He said knowing this. So every day, I must know it. I must tell myself, knowing this. So I have a role to play every day, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Living Bible says it was shattered and fatally wounded. And he says what? Knowing. He didn't say no. He didn't say haven't known. He said knowing, a continuous walk. That means that man that looks in the mirror should always know himself. Say, this is me. This is the old man. I will not submit to it. I am now this person. Every day, he must tell himself. Hey, you see, and this thing. He said, well, thank you. But you see, this is who we are. Say, well, thank you. But you see, this is where we stand. Hey, your own is too much. Say, well, thank you. But this is actually what we ought to do. Knowing this. So we must not forget what manner of men we are. Bible says two men went to pray. A Pharisee and one a sinner. The other one forgot the grace of God. He forgot his transformation by the word of God. And began to roll out his CV. The other one came. Said, you see me. This is who I am, just have mercy. and Christ could point to the other one. The question I ask people, what manner of man are you, or were you? You hear great men like Gary Gio, Pastor Adebo, who always talk about how he was in the world. I had plenty of girlfriends. You know, Mommy Gio had to beg him that she stop saying it. Because he has said it over and over. How that even one of his girlfriends brought her son for healing. And when the woman came in, said, I want to see the... He said, Adebo, So, she now said, I want to see the pastor. He said, I'm the pastor. He said, you? You are the pastor? That means I should just be going. He said, no, he is the pastor. And when he prayed, the child was healed. Yeah? You, God can transform you like this. I tell you to you today, he doesn't have a female secretary. He doesn't have a female secretary. He does not. Has he not grown in the faith? He has grown. But he knows his tendencies. We miss it when we actually forget where we are coming from. Tunde Bakre was said to have made his office an open office, transparent. So anybody entering and going, they are seeing the person. And a woman still came and bent and her cleavages came out. And he shouted, Egbamio, Egbamio. He had to shout. They should rescue him, rescue him. And Duma said, Leo, ni mi o Leo, I'm not strong. Duma said, you're not supposed to say, I'm not strong. He understood what manner of man was. He says, when the man looks, he will just forget who he was, I'll just continue life. He said, that's not how we have been. See, Christianity has responsibility. It's work, Work. Daily work. Daily work. But the moment we forget it, there will be a problem. And the final thing he told us, he said, the one that now continues in the word. James was telling us. He said, I haven't heard it. He does what? He continues in it. And that brings us to the point of meditation, application of what we hear. And I tell people, if you actually meditate on the word of God, you apply it. That's the truth. If you sit down, you read the word of God, you introspect, you meditate to know, you will apply it. One challenge we have had is we are so busy. Very busy. Very, very busy. We are so busy that once we read the word of God, just leave it there. Say, we thank God we have been able to look at the word of God. Continuing in the word of God. Meditating, applying. When you get anywhere, you remember this morning I read, I used to have a culture, don't mind me, residency is a very terrible thing to do. I used to have a culture. Once I read the Bible in the morning and I'm leaving my house, I begin to look for how to apply it. When I get to work, and I was working in the missions too, I look for ways to apply whatever I have read or I've listened to. So when you come and you are telling me your issues, I begin to look back at, okay. And we always get a way to apply it. That was a culture. And we always get a way to apply it. At times, if I'm in GOPD, and I'll be looking for that patient that will actually come. And this matter will actually hook. And they will always come from Unsuk. I have them plenty. They will always come. And when they come, they sit down, let's discuss. They will always come. If we sit down, we meditate, there is a high chance that we will apply that word. When we just read it, or we hear it now, and we just go about our businesses. The world is a busy place now. Very busy. And we must consciously be careful not to be lost in that busy nature. Because the benefit, actually, of doing the word of God, which is the final point, is that I will have God. That's the benefit. I will have God. And I will be God's presence wherever I go. People come to places and you see things just begin to work. People enter cities and you notice that city things will change. Because they carry God. I And how did they begin to carry God? He says, because they began to obey everything he told them to say, to do. Everything. Everything. Somebody says, it's not hearing God. You will not hear when you have not obeyed the last one. You can't hear. When you obey the last one, a new one will come. When you obey this one, another voice will come. So if I'm truly meditating and I'm applying, I will carry God's presence. And when I carry God's presence, oh, I will rejoice. I will be the best. Look at what the Bible says about Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God. And the Bible says he disappeared. That's how somebody walked with God. He disappeared. And if you think that my doing God's word now will mean that God will bless me so much I will be wealthy, I'm sorry. Let me reposition your mind. God's blessing is not only in money. So we must agree to that. I read this final scripture and then I close. James chapter 1 from verse 9 and 10, Living Bible. Said a Christian who doesn't amount to much in this world should be glad, for he is great in the Lord's sight. He said, but a rich man should be glad. Why not? I should be glad that his riches mean nothing to the Lord. So the one that is poor, Bible says he should be happy that before God he is great. The one who is rich should be happy that what? All this is money is useless to God. And I will say what I used to say in church. God can do his work without money. Go on, keep it somewhere. God can do his work without what? He will do it without money. God will do his work without money. It is one belief I have. When men of God will say, you know money, I say, I don't deny. But me, I know that God can do his work without money. The work of God will move. Because he has said that the rich man should be happy that what? His money means nothing to the Lord. For he will soon be gone like a flower that has lost his beauty and faith away. Withered, killed by the scorching summer sun. So it is with rich men. They will soon die and leave behind all their busy activities. I love the Living Bible. Said they will leave behind all their what? Busy activities. So the blessings of God for doing is not just naira and dollars. It is what? The presence of God. And when I have the presence of God, naira or dollar, it's not my problem. I don't care. I always tell people, don't put me under pressure. Don't pressure me at all. But if I do naira, they do. What God wants to do is what he's doing. When it's time for him to do the next, I will enter there. I've seen God push people, boom, like a gusher into mighty places. Men that had nothing, I've seen God do it. And that's why my own is to follow. If he tries to kick me in there, I will only enter. If he says that I'm not going in there, I can't go in there. It's as simple as that. I can't go in there. That's the truth. So we must learn to be happy. See, don't go home thinking. Stop thinking. I don't know who I'm even talking to now. Stop thinking. It's not about you. It's about God who will push you into inheritance when he desires to. Let's bow our heads. We have heard the word of God. We have seen the matters that concerns us. We have seen issues that God has begun to raise with us. Like I have asked, what did God save you from? What have you become with God? Have I really surrendered? Have I really yielded myself to the Master? Let's talk to God. It is time to begin to do. It's time to begin to do.